to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
My pleasure now to welcome to the show artist and songwriter Patricia Conroy. She's been here many times before, always a great time chatting with her on the show. Got a couple of the songs that she's been involved in writing that we will play, and we'll talk about some other songs that are out there now that have her pen on them. My pleasure now to welcome to the show Patricia Conroy. Hey, Patricia.
Hi, it's always good to talk to you, Dave.
Always great to chat with you as well, whether I'm running into you at the CCMAs or chatting with you here on the show. And it's always exciting because we get into songwriting, of course, which is basically the thing you do these days. And it's incredible. I mean, the list that we're going to go through is quite staggering. You've had songs recorded by Michelle Wright, Jimmy Rankin, Emerson Drive, Bobby Will, Small Town Pistols, Jessica Mitchell, Rivertown Saints, Megan Patrick, Runaway Angel. The list goes on and on and on, and it also includes, just recently, a song recorded by Reba. How the heck did this happen?
I know. Well, wow. It's unbelievable, and it's actually, yeah, it's an incredible, like, you know, I guess just having Reba cut one of your songs is, like, on a bucket list for me. So it's great. But she actually put the song on hold when it was first written, and I'm thinking this is about 6.5 years ago. And at that time, you know, I was, again, jumping up and down and screaming to the rooftops, and then she took it off hold. And it's such a disappointment for a writer when that happens. But, you know, I thought, well, at least she had it on hold. That was really cool. So, and the first time she put it on hold, you know, I phoned my mom and I told my friends and I was really excited. So this time when she said she was going to cut it again, I sort of didn't say anything to anybody. You know, I told my mom again, but I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to wait till it's actually released. And the day it was, I was able to, of course, tell everybody, and I'm so proud of it. And she did a beautiful rendition of the song. And I think it means so much to her, the lyrics and the meaning behind the song. So that's also cool.
Pretty amazing, and it's on her first ever gospel album, which is coming out February 3rd. The album is called Sing It Now, Songs of Faith and Hope. The song is, it's about a support system, obviously, God and girlfriends. But tell me about the inspiration with your co-writers when you first wrote it, Patricia, what this song means to you.
Yeah, well, I actually got the idea. I was driving around Nashville, and, you know, you're always on autopilot in terms of looking for the next song idea. And I knew I was writing with Marsha Ramirez and Lisa Hentrich, you know, in the next couple of days back then. And I thought, you know, I was just thinking about all my girlfriends, actually, Michelle and Beverly Millhood and, you know, Lisa Brokop and Amanda Wilkinson. I have so many great women friends, and they mean so much to me, and I work really hard at my friendships. Maybe too hard, but I really, you know, they mean the world to me. And, you know, I'm also very happily married, you know, to my other best friend, Bob Funk. But when I think about that and I think about my girlfriends and I think about God, I just think, you know, Bob and I will be together forever. But I'd really, my life would be less full without my girlfriends and God in it. And I thought, God and my girlfriends, what a cool title for a song. So that's what happened. I brought the title to the co-write, and these two women were the perfect women to write it, and they're, you know, definitely women of faith, and they definitely jumped on the idea, and we wrote it in a couple of hours, and that's how it happened.
So amazing that she had it on hold all those years ago, about 6.5 years ago, and then obviously she remembered the song, or it was there, and it was just right for this project. So I guess part of it is the patience, and you never know when a song is going to have its time.
Right, and there's so many songs in Nashville sitting in bottom drawers and here and there that may never see the light of day, and they're fantastic songs. So it really is, you know, timing, just, you know, the fact that Reba remembered the song at a time in her life when maybe she was going through something, and I know she was going through a divorce, and her friends rallied around her, and I think she just maybe thought of the song because the song plugger told us the story that she came back and said, I have a couple of songs on hold with you that I'm going to take off hold right now, and I'm sorry about that. She said, but can I have that God and My Girlfriend song again?
Oh, wow.
And he was like, wow, she remembered it. It was like, so that's really cool, too.
Yeah, pretty amazing, to say the least. We've got more songs to talk about here, and let's talk about Jessica Mitchell and, of course, the CMAOs last year in 2016, and she performed acoustically the song Working on
right.
Whiskey, which you wrote with her, and got the standing ovation at this great moment, and then the song, of course, has since gone to radio and done amazing things for her.
Well, I mean, she's a terrific artist and one of those singers that, you know, can sing anything. She absolutely can sing anything. And the first time I wrote with her, we wrote a great song. You know, it's called Leave Me Right, and it's a really terrific song. And I knew I was writing with her again, and I get so inspired when I hear a voice like that, and that I get to be mm-hmm. part of the songwriting process with somebody like that. And she's a great writer, too. And we wrote Working on Whiskey with Dave Thompson, and we've written, I think, 6 or 7 songs together to this point. And they're all great songs, and she's a star. And she's a wonderful girl.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of, you know, wonderful, soulful emotion that comes out when she sings. That's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a real talent that she has.
That's what's so great about her voice, that emotion which we hear in Working on Whiskey and other stuff she'll post online for us to watch and listen to. And you hear that emotion in it, and you don't hear that with every artist. So as you said, as a songwriter, having that instrument, her voice to write for must inspire you to a whole other level.
It totally does. You know, and that's the thing, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day. As an artist, I know songs that would fit me vocally and emotionally. And a lot of songs I write now, I don't really sing them. I can, but they're not a fit for me. And I tried singing Working on Whiskey. It's nowhere near as good as Jessica singing it. But when I heard her voice, it allowed me to dig as deep as I wanted to emotionally because I knew she could do it. And that's a really mm-hmm. cool thing as far as songwriting goes, and I really love that aspect of it.
Well, it must be great because now, you know, if you're an artist just writing for yourself, you're going to write to who you are. But writing for various people, you can put on different hats and almost be different people as you write them. You can be a rebel here,
totally.
And you can be, you know, romantic and all kinds of stuff that isn't maybe how people see you just separately.
Oh yeah, I'm an actor. You know, I'm in a sense, you know, I'm getting to live all my you know, dress ups and whatnot, you know, vocally in my head and things that I wish I could do, and just, you know, I'm writing with a lot of guys. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I'm trying to go, okay, well, how does a guy think, you know, and what does a woman want to hear from that guy? And, you know, I look at him and think, you know, what can he pull off in terms of being like super sexy, you know, and trying to push the envelope a little and really bring things out of different artists. And it's a lot of fun, Dave. I get to hang out with some pretty cool people. Yeah.
Must be a blast. And also, like a lot of these artists, you know, but when you're meeting somebody, say, for the first time and you're hearing their very cool voice, and maybe this person, not only being a great person, but they may be the next big thing.
Yeah. And in that regard, I do write with a lot of young, unknown artists. Not as many as I'd like to, because, you know, I'm busy writing with recording acts, too. But, you know, as soon as someone gets in a room and sits down and sort of says, I got this idea, and they start singing, you know if they've got something. You know, and there's a lot of young artists that I think do have that. That Danielle Marie that I wrote with recently, and she's got a song on the radio. She's just one of those, you know, and it's personality, too. It's vocal ability. It's, you know, are you in this for the long haul, or is this just something you're kind of trying out? You know, when someone's fully into it and they know what they want and they know what sound they want, they don't want to sound like somebody else, and they just have the personality to go with it, that's kind of a winning combo for me.
Yeah, I just had Danielle Marie on the show to talk to her about the song that you and Phil Barton wrote with her called I Want to Go There. And you're right, a delightful personality. I've spoken with her before, and she's just doing great things, and it must be exciting to be part of that journey with her.
Yeah, you know, and that's another point. I'm living vicariously to all of these artists, you know, just because I'm not out there touring and, you know, 6 nights a week, this and that. I did that for quite a long time, and I'm still doing some dates this summer. But it's such a cool sort of side glance at somebody else going through some of the same things as I have been through, but maybe different and maybe, you know, stronger, better. Like maybe they'll be huge stars, you know, and it's just really cool.
Amazing. It's great that obviously you know that you're lucky and you feel blessed, and we get to hear all these great songs. It's so exciting. I can't imagine for you as a songwriter to have cut after cut after cut and just see so many good things happening. I wanted to ask you, though, you know, the songwriting side, but as an artist, I know a lot of fans out there, including myself, would love to have an album from you, Patricia, whether it's a concept album or whatever we've come to expect from you or whatever that would be. Any plans? Because when I was at the CCMAs and you were doing the songwriting rounds and I just, you know, heard your voice on these songs, I thought, I'd love to hear an album of this.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. You know what? I love that. I love that you said that. And I have been thinking about it. I've just been so busy writing. But there are enough songs that I've written that I would record. And it would probably, if I did do that, Dave, it would be more of a singer-songwriter type of album.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not even going to compare myself to anybody else, but, you know, more of that sort of thing. And I would love to do that. And I would love to do some sort of, you know, stripped down three-piece band acoustic-y tour to sort of follow up with something like that. So if I get a chance after this next year is looking like it's going to be pretty busy, but maybe next fall I'll get in the studio. I have my own studio here, and my husband just happens to be a producer, so you never know.
The great Bob Funk, you're all set.
The amazing
you
Bob
Funk,
I'm telling you.
You got the producer and the voice. You got everything.
That's right. Bottle of wine and I'm good.
I think there's a song in there. We're going to turn to a song here on the show, and we've got lots more to talk about when we come back, including your latest news, the co-publishing deal with Slate Music. But let's turn to a song from the Rivertown Saints. Their latest single is called Bonfire. But before we play it, Patricia, tell me about the writing of the song and you know, a story behind it. I'd love to hear that.
So much fun. And we didn't write it with the group. This is one of the few times that a song got written, you know, and it got written by Dave Thompson and I write together a lot. I just love the guy. And, you know, I could talk about him for an hour. But suffice to say, he's one of my go-to writers. And he's the same with me. He'll call me up and say, I'm writing with so-and-so. Can you come in and do that? So on this day, it was Dave, myself, and Tim Hicks. And I'd never written with Tim Hicks. He's fantastic. He's a great kind of, he's got so much substance and he's got a great voice. And he said, I want to write something kind of, I don't know, like, you know, he didn't use the word bajiggity, but that was kind of what I was getting from him. Like, he wanted to do sort of like, not disco country, but just something kind of really dancey and really cool and fun and upbeat. And we ended up writing Bonfire. And we loved it. And we had the demo. And Tim just ended up not recording it because he had enough songs. And it got pitched to Rivertown Saints, and I ran into them at the CCMAs in London this last year. They were outside, and I was walking out, and they started singing it to me, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. Their version
that
is
so
great.
Cool.
You're going to love it.
Oh, absolutely. Let's hear the song now. These are the Rivertown Saints with Bonfire on In the Country.
For a mirror ball spinning, $2 high life, it's a high life that we're living. Leaving a cornfield for a little slice of concrete, dragging the mud, gonna dirty up Main Street.
like a bonfire. Light it up, light it up, light it up like a bonfire. Light it up, light it up, light it up like a bonfire.
Oh. And that is the Rivertown Saints. The song is called Bonfire. It's brand new for them, written by Patricia Conroy, Tim Hicks. And was there another writer, Patricia?
Dave Thompson.
There we go. All three of you, great songwriters, Rivertown Saints and Bonfire, their new one. That is exciting. Megan Patrick has a song out now that I love with Joe Nichols, a great song called Still Loving You. Tell me a bit about that one.
Yeah. I gotta, you know, take a deep breath here because, you know, there's so many great people that I'm getting to work with, and Megan really is, you know, just one of my favorites. Again, as a person, she's so sweet, but she's also so intelligent. Like, she's just really smart girl, really great writer. I wrote with her, I think I was her first co-write ever. I'm going back now, maybe at least a year and a half. She was coming down to Nashville, and her manager contacted me and said, you don't know me, you don't know Megan. There's nothing really much going on with her right now, except that she's great. And would you write with her? And Megan came down, and she'd never written with anybody before, and got in a room, wrote a song, and whatever she was going through at the time, we wrote that. And I think fast forward about a year later, and this is coming to your other point, Dave, that you made earlier about you never know who the next star is going to be or the next big thing is going to be. Mm-hmm. A year later, she's like, I got a record deal with Warner Canada. I signed a publishing deal, and I'm doing an album. You want to write? And I'm like, you're dang right I do. And so we ended up writing Grace and Grit,
wow,
a song called Fast as
mm-hmm.
Your Car, and the current single, Still Loving You. And it was just really fun writing with her. And this song was also with Zach Abend, if you can pronounce that name. The
three
of us sat
again
in a room, and Zach is his first name, and A-B-E-N-D is his last name. And I thought it was Zach
gotcha.
Abend for the longest time, but it's Zach Abend. And
cool
Zach guy,
okay,
great writer, young guy, you know. And, you know, just the combination. Sometimes it's just a combination of people. The day, the sun shining or not, the right idea. And the song I thought turned out really well, and I'm really pleased that Joe Nichols is singing on it.
Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful song. Do you know anything behind how Joe Nichols became the duet partner versus, you know, any other choice there might have been?
I don't know the full story, but I know that, well, I know Tracy, her manager, Tracy Singer, fantastic manager, and that's another
mm-hmm.
key ingredient to a successful career, let me tell you. Tracy just beat down a few doors, and she's not afraid to ask somebody, you know, hey, can... It never hurts to ask, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And she
right.
she thought Joe Nichols would be the perfect voice for this song. And she basically
mm-hmm.
just contacted either the label or their management and sort of got a yes. So that's how that happened.
Amazing, because they sound great on it, great song, and their vocals together. And it's great to hear it all over the radio right now. So let's talk about this great news in your life right now, Patricia. More great news, which is the co-publishing deal with Slate Music. Tell us exactly what that is and obviously what it means to you.
I've been, you know, a lone wolf for like the last 10 years. I think 10 years ago I had a publishing deal down here in Nashville. And so that's a long time in between, you know, being, you know, somebody's writer and just doing it myself. And so I was kind of ready to hook up with a company and just, you know, blossom this out a little bit more. And I ran into Jim Campbell, who's works for Slate, through Jessica Mitchell, actually. He came down, and of course Jessica works for Slate. And so fast forward, I don't know, 8 months, they just contacted me and said, we'd like to sign you to a publishing deal. And we just worked it out, and I couldn't be happier. They're a great group. They do a lot of wonderful things for artists. They really promote Canadian talent. They've got some seriously good artists and songwriters on their roster. And I just feel like I'm in great company, and we're going to do some magical work together.
And Patricia, I would think this would be the case, but does it cut, for example, with Reba, obviously one of the biggest country names out there, a legend, having a cut by her Is that something you almost use as a credit? You know, that can be talked about. She's had a cut from Reba. Does that open up doors?
Yeah. You know, you're like so bang on in this whole interview. It's like you know exactly how all this works. And that I met with the plugger down here, Shane, just, you know, about a week ago. And that's exactly what he made a list of, you know, cuts I've had and actually songwriters I'm writing with. Because he can go to people in songwriters in Nashville, big songwriters, and say, well, she's got a Reba cut, and she's written with Zach Abend, who's a blossoming producer, songwriter in Nashville. And sort of that's how you open doors. And that's what I wanted from this move with Slate, is to open up more doors. I've opened up a bunch of doors, and I've done a lot of work, and I've got a head of steam now. And I'm kind of feeling like my soul's burning up. Like, I know what I want. I just need to find out how to get it.
Right. Can you remind us of the first cut you had in Nashville? So this is after your career as an artist and the start of your career as this successful songwriter. The cut we would know that you had and that probably started things for you on this role?
Oh, boy. Well, it was a lot of Canadian cuts initially. And then I got a U.S. cut by a duo called Steel Magnolia. And that really kind of lifted things up and got people. I mean, people just, you know, respond to that. They just do. And really in Canada, I think it would be, I'm going to have to say Jimmy Rankin was one of the first people that I wrote with that recorded a song and released it to radio. And I think that was Here in My Heart. Kind of believe like that was, I had all my songs that I did over the years, you know, Direction of Love, I Don't Want to Be the One, Keep Me Rockin'. Mm-hmm. I wrote all those, I co-wrote all those. So I had all those under my belt, but in terms of becoming the songwriter, Jimmy Rankin will be one of the first. And then it just, you know, Bobby Wills and Michelle Wright cut a bunch of my stuff, Beverly Mahood.
Yeah.
It just kept growing and growing and growing. And, you know there's still artists out there I haven't written with. You know, I haven't written with Dallas Smith, and there's, you know, Dean Brody like writes by himself, so that probably will never happen. But it's fun because, you know, I'm still like, you know, meeting people, and I haven't written with Washboard Union, but they've contacted me. We're going to write together at some point in their next trip down. It's just really cool and to see where it started. And I'm still writing with Jimmy. Jimmy and I wrote a couple of months ago for his next Christmas album. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, Here in My Heart is such a beautiful song, and you sang it at the CCMAs in the songwriting round. It's just one of those songs that, you know, it speaks truth in it, and, it, you know, never a dull moment. Here in My Heart, it's got great lyrics as well.
Well, thank you. That was, he's a fun co-writer. He's, we've talked about Jimmy before. You know, he's got a very big personality in that he's musical from his, you know, the top of his head to the tip of his toes. He just walks around with a guitar, and it just kind of pours out of him. So it's really a delight and a pleasure for me writing with him. And he has never kind of turned down an idea that I've come up with. You know, and sometimes it doesn't work. You know, and you'll say, how about this hook? And everybody's like, why don't we just keep looking for another one? Jimmy's always like, yeah, let's write that, you know. So he's a fun hang and a great co-writer. And, He's a lifer with me.
That's awesome. Let's turn to another song that's out there on radio these days from Runaway Angel, and the song is called Easy, which is on their album No End in Sight. And all these, the couple of songs we played on the show, well, including the Reba, available, of course, at iTunes. But tell me about the girls from Runaway Angel and the song Easy.
Yeah, well, people have been saying this lately to me in interviews. Runaway Angel is the new Lace. Do you guys remember Lace?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know, that sort of element's been missing from country radio, I think, in the last, 6 years at least, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that they're filling that, and I think they're really cool girls. I think they're all very talented songwriters and singers and performers, and they really love it and they really want it. And it's great to see that. You know, they don't take anything for granted. They're working really hard, and I just hope this song gets to radio and really puts them on the map. You know, I think they're the future of, you know, the all-female girl thing.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been working at it so long, and separately they were doing very well for themselves, and separately they are great vocalists, which is obviously, and that's important in a group, right? To, you don't want to just have, the lead vocalist can sometimes make it work, but each of these could be a lead vocalist.
Yeah, it's really cool, like the Dixie Chicks kind of thing. It's you know, and I've always secretly wanted to be in an all-girl band. I just thought it would be so much fun to not just be, you know, Patricia Conroy, that it would be like three women. And that's why we did the Mexico thing with the three girls, Beverly and Michelle and myself. Because I always wanted to do that, and I was really happy that I was finally able to get three women together. But and I'd love to do a tour like that, too. It would be so much fun. But back to Runaway Angel. I just think they're great, and I, you know, I know they're going to keep recording, and I know I'm going to keep writing with them, and it's just fun to watch the whole thing grow.
Let's hear that song now. It's the latest from Runaway Angel. This is Easy on In the Country.
Never thought I would find the strength, but I did it, I did it. I packed up my things and I'm at the door. Me and you was hard to do, I admit it, I admit it. I don't know why I didn't leave before, before. This is easy.
Bruno Angel and their latest song called Easy. My guest on the show is Patricia Conroy, and so many great things happening for her this year, including the Slate Music publishing deal and the Reba cut, God and My Girlfriends. Just an incredible year. wanted to ask you, Patricia, for songwriters out there and artists who are coming to see you or another writer for a co-writing session, what should they do to prepare? What should they have? Should they have a notebook? Should they have a tape of some melodies? How should they come in?
All of the above. Yeah, it's especially for new artists and new writers. And you're like, you're channeling my head today. Like all of this stuff is, I've just been thinking about it in the last couple of days.
Wow.
Because I'm writing with new acts coming up, you know, and I know sometimes they walk in the door and they have an idea, but sometimes they don't. And it's really great to walk in with, even if you think it's kind of a dumb idea, bring it. Because it'll make me think of something else if it isn't the perfect idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, or, you know, have even like three or four chords, kind of just a, this is kind of what I was thinking, this groove or this feel, and or even a song you love and say, I'd kind of like to do a song, something like that. You know, do a little bit of homework, have a little kind of idea prepared, and that's really all you need. And we'll do the rest. We'll get you going.
Incredible. That's how it all starts. And it's got to be pretty amazing, that magic that happens in a songwriting session, because, you, as you said, you go in with some rough initial ideas, but you don't know what's going to happen. It must be a great moment when you click on an idea, whether it's God and My Girlfriends or Easy or Bonfire, and it just starts just unfolding, and it just happens.
Yeah, it's a cool process. I mean, there are days where I just kind of gently put the guitar back in the case, get in my car, and go home and go, wow, that was really hard. You're going to have those days, and that's okay. I get to be a songwriter for a living, Dave. It's cool. But I've had some really magical days, like working on Whiskey was a magical day, and I remember Jessica looked over and said, what just happened?
Wow.
She's right. It's like, I don't know how that happens. I get the feeling it's, you know, experience from the three writers, you know, having their pockets full of whatever they know about music, a decent idea to begin with, and then magic in the air. I really believe that's up there and it's out there. And if you're open to it and ready for it, it kind of falls on you. So I'm lucky. I've had a little bit of magic dust over the last few years, and I'm really, really thankful for it.
And it must feel, or must be an interesting process. You mentioned this off the top, when you know these songs get released, and you don't know if they're going to go to the top of the charts or not. And the Small Town Pistols song, "I Only Smoke When I Drink." Great song, but I'm sure when you know that song was recorded, as great as it was, because it wasn't exactly what was being played on radio, all of you might have thought, I wonder if this is going to break through there at radio.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, working on Whiskey is also like that, you know? It's
that's true.
It's different from anything else out there, which is why I love it, and the same with I Only Smoke When I Drink. I love eclectic songs like that. I live for those songs. But, you know, they don't always work at radio for whatever reason. But it doesn't mean that people don't respond to it, because I've had so many people respond to both those songs. And I Only Smoke When I Drink won an award. So it's just interesting, the journey of a song. It can go so many ways, but I'll tell you, when I believe in a song, I believe like so hard. And I do get disappointed sometimes, but I've been so fortunate that I don't let it really get to me like that. I just kind of go, okay, well, that wasn't meant to be exactly, you know, top 10 or whatever that means. But it's still one of my favorite songs, you know, whatever song we're talking about at the moment. Mm-hmm. And always will be. And, you know, maybe it's a song I can actually sit down and sing, you know, years from now.
Exactly. And do you still pitch songs yourself? In other words, would you go up to Megan Patrick or an artist, say it's a song that you hadn't written with them, will you send them an MP3 or however you would get the song to them, directly to the artist, if you know them well enough?
You know, I would. That does not happen as much as it used to. Mostly now the artist is, it's changed. It was subtle. I don't know when this all happened, but the artist, generally speaking, writes all of their own songs now. And that's not all the artists, but a lot of them do. I used to write, you know, at least half my records, for sure. But then I would go and look for songs. I'd go down to Music Row And I'd find songs like Mary on the Dashboard and You Can't Resist It, and just these great songs, you know, because I knew they were out there. And I, as much as I love writing and can write pretty good, there's some really badass songs out there. So, you know,
right.
I'm open to that. I think it's a great thing. But to answer your question, I do pitch songs, and especially to, you know, producers who call and say, I have this girl, no one's heard of her yet, and I'm producing her. Do you have any songs? And if I have some songs, I will definitely send them, you know, for a listen and see if they get cut. So I've had a lot of cuts on songs and albums that you'll probably never hear. But, you know, that's something that that person wanted to do. They wanted to record an album, and maybe that led them to something else. And
mm-hmm.
you know, down the road, they'll come back to me and say, guess what? I've got a record deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's that song of yours is part of their journey and probably helped them take another step.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, that's the idea. And it's just kind of fun, you know, when you've got songs and they're not doing anything or you know, I was writing tons of songs without artists for years. It's just easier for me now to sit down with the artist. There's a lot better chance of me getting that song cut right there, right then. In essence, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, we write a song, and if they love it, they'll say, you know what, I'm probably going to record this. So that's you're saving a lot of time and energy, you know, just sitting down and doing that. But I think it's really important, and it's important for me to also write songs and just pitch them. So I'm doing that a little bit more now, and especially with the publishing deal, that'll be happening a lot
mm-hmm.
more.
That's awesome. Now, of course, the Reba cut that is on her first ever gospel album. The album is called Sing It Now, Songs of Faith and Hope, which people can get on iTunes, and your song on there is God and My Girlfriend. So you mentioned that being a bucket list cut. Are there, and I'm sure it's a long list, but are there any other one or two names, Patricia, that you, I think
yeah.
before you've answered the question is Emmy Lou Harris, but artists for sentimental
yeah.
reasons that you'd love to have a cut from?
Oh, well, her for sure. I mean, yeah, I'm a huge fan of so many country artists, and Vince Gill is just one of my absolute favorites. Right now, I kind of love a Blake Shelton cut, so I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nice.
In case he's listening to your show, I want you to
hey, Blake,
I want
how's
you to
it going?
One of my songs, Blake. Yeah. you know, I'd love a Miranda Lambert cut. I would love to write with her. You know, I'm going to dream big right now, and I'd
yeah,
love to write with
it.
Miranda Lambert. I absolutely love that. I'm a huge Faith Hill fan. I think she needs to get back to radio.
Absolutely.
And, she's great. There's just so many. I mean, I'd be tickled to have a cut with any of the country artists, you know, right now, because they're all great. They're all unique in their own way, and there's new country and there's old country, and I love it all. And you know, my bucket list is pretty long, I guess is what I'm saying. And so is my speaking ability. I don't speak to you able to shut up.
Well, that's good that this is a talk show, because we want to
no,
hear you
right?
talking. Exactly. No, that's good. We people out there and myself want to hear you talk, want to hear these stories. I love hearing all this stuff. So we can go on and on and on forever here, and we'll definitely have you back, of course, because we know there's another batch of songs this year that we're going to be hearing and that are going to have your name on it. And as we get set to wrap up here, are there any hints you can give us, whether it's a Canadian artist, American artist, whoever, any new, more new songs coming out in the next few months with your hand in them?
I really hesitate to even go there because, you know, when we were talking about me knowing about Reba cutting my song, like way
right.
back in the summertime here, and I had to keep it to myself because I didn't want to blow it and tell everybody I had a Reba cut and then she didn't release it. But yes.
Any that you know for sure?
Close for sure, but I'm hesitant to say anything. But yeah,
okay.
there's a possible Emerson Drive. I'll just put it out there. I'm writing with the Lovelocks for the first time. So this year is going to be really interesting for me. Yeah, it's just cool, Dave. I mean, if I sound excited, it's because I am excited. I just kind of, you know, I used to kind of look over my shoulder like, wow, why is this all happening? Now I'm just kind of enjoying it. I know I've worked really hard. I know I love what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I know every day is going to be a different challenge, but, you know, bring it on. I'm loving it. Loving every minute of it.
It's amazing, and I love having you on the show, Patricia, as always, to chat about it.
Well, I love it too, and you know, I absolutely love Canadian country music industry and everybody in it. They've been so good and gracious and kind and supportive to me all the years I've been doing this and as a songwriter. And, you know, boy, I don't know. Just thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, this has been great. Thanks so much for being here, Patricia, and we'll be talking again in the future.
You bet. And I hope I'm going to see you at the CCMAs this year.
You are indeed.
Yay, Saskatoon.
Yeah, that's going to be a great time.
I think so, too. And hopefully, with any luck, I'll be at the CMAOs again this year.
Awesome. That would be great to see you there.
Yeah.
They're happening, of course, in London, Ontario this year, in June, which is awesome.
Very. Love that town.
Yeah, great. They did a great job with the CCMAs. Patricia, thanks so much again, and we'll be listening on the radio for these songs.
Dave, thank you so much for having me on your show once again. And look forward to seeing you soon.
You bet. Can't wait. My guest has been artist and hit songwriter Patricia Conroy. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.